Hey everybody, it's the Green Korean. With just a couple of episodes of the Dave Podcast left, Octopus Caveman and I wanted to start thanking some of the people who made the Dave Podcast such a fun show to do. Some of those people were the awesome guests that we had on this show. So we wanted to give one final shout out to Josh and Melissa Saulback from the One With Podcast, Ryan Bunnell, Steve Colsante, and Matt Siebert from the Mr. BS Show, Octopus Caveman's buddy Slimer, Seth from the podcast On the Edge of Forever, the amazing voiceover talent Reno Romano, Big Daddy Jimmy V from the From Ear to Table podcast, Jim and Chris from Dave the Podcast, Becky and Matt from Pre-Recorded Live, Adrian from Adrian Has Issues, Dave the Nerd from Dave's Nerd Compendium, Juliet Miranda from the Unwritable Rant podcast and The Truth podcast, and last but not least, the guest of this show, Mike Driscoll. Another group of people that we would like to thank is the community of Podern Family. If you're not familiar with Podern Family, it's a group of podcasters who have come together on Twitter and other places to help each other, support each other, promote each other, basically support independent podcasting. A few of the unsung heroes who work behind the scenes at Podern Family are Nick from the Epic Film Guys podcast, Shane from the Now That I'm Older podcast, David the producer from the Unwritable Rant podcast, Mandy from Little Geek Lost, Ro from the World of Ro podcast, and Adam from Everyone Has a Podcast. They do an excellent job in holding this community together and keeping everybody engaged. So we'd like to throw them a special thank you for doing that. And also, if you're a podcaster, head over to Twitter, check out the hashtag PodernFamily. You'll find a whole bunch of really cool people who can help you promote and grow your show. And if you're not a podcaster and you're just looking for great podcasts to listen to, do the same thing, you'll find a whole bunch of cool podcasts to listen to. But rather than me tell you about it, here's a promo from Podern Family.
What is the Podern Family?
Hey, y'all. It's Juliet Miranda from the Unwritable Rant podcast.
This is Michael Vasquez of the No Soundbites Allowed podcast.
I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob from the Something Something Cast.
This is Knock from the Geek Over Podcast.
This is Jeff with the Kung Fu Drive-In Podcast.
This is Daniel from the Toe on the Trigger Podcast.
This is Dave from the Parlapod Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Mike from the Mike Jolitz Show.
Woo! We're Josh and David from the Scotch and Flicks Podcast.
We are you, podcasters coming together in a community to help one another grow. So follow us on Twitter at Podern Family and use the hashtag Podern Family in your tweets and retweet other people who do the same. Podern Family, where great podcasts come home.
In the case of Archie Bunker, that generation, it was incidental racism. It was just a way they referred to things. They were a bunch of like crude, ball-busting dudes who went and worked blue-collar jobs and made Pollock jokes, and everybody made fun of everybody's ethnicity. I don't think there was a true, like burn across racism or hatred in Archie Bunker's heart.
Right,
I think it was just an incidental busting your balls type of thing where that's what they called people back then. It was like, yeah, he's a Negro or whatever. I'm sure it was way worse, but they cleaned it up for television.
He was just kind of an old guy set in his ways, as you know, like if you could make it anything, like he was kind of like the cute racist.
Yeah.
Cute racist. Yeah.
He would have 100%.
Look at that adorable racist.
Yeah, he would have 100% called you an Oriental or a Chinese gay or whatever, you know. But he wouldn't have like beat you up for your race or tried to tell you to get out or whatever. He just wouldn't want you dating his daughter.
I have a challenge for both of you, okay?
Okay.
When you guys eventually do David Duke, I dare you to call him a cute racist. There's no way you can do it. There's no way you can do it. You're like, yeah, you can't. Fuck it.
You know, I take your challenge. I think if Duke accidentally shrunk his KKK robes and, like, you know, the sleeves came up like halfway up his fucking arms and it looked like he was wearing a skirt, you'd look at him and go, oh, look at that cute racist.
Or he's wearing Daisy Dukes from the Dukes of Hazzard.
David Duke does have an adorable racist name, though, because it does make you think of Daisy Dukes. It's hard to take that guy seriously as a racist, where you're just like, is this part of your act? Like, you just try and put on this facade, and then as soon as the robes come off, you just got some shorts going up to your butt, and you're going to wash my car like in a fucking Carl's Jr. commercial.
Well, yeah, even today, like those fucking, you know, butt hugger shorts are still Daisy Dukes. Why haven't robes become David Dukes?
Yeah, they should. That's what we're doing. A full-on robe is called a David Duke now. I'm going to put on my bath David Duke. Get out of the shower, put on a nice David Duke, and just settle in with a book. Preferably Mein Kampf.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dave Podcast, episode 20. This week, Dave Coulier.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dave Podcast. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Shave Person.
And joining us on the podcast today is a good buddy of ours who we've never met, Mike Driscoll. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys?
Doing fantastic. So, I mean, one of the cool things about podcasting is you get to meet a whole bunch of cool people on Twitter. And like I met OC, we met on Twitter, started a podcast. Mike is another one of those guys, just fantastic, salt of the earth kind of people that you meet on Twitter. Total stranger. This is our first time meeting, so it's an honor to meet you, man.
Oh, same. Likewise. Yeah. I've listened to the podcast every episode. It's my, you know, my Friday night delight between you and Mr. BS Show, and I'm just honored to be on both of those.
You know, going back and forth with you on Twitter, man, it's been a lot of fun, and you know, we've become friends even though we've never spoken until now.
I can't believe it. You guys are more than friends. You're very close to my family, and yeah. If you want to be part of my family, good luck.
Thanks, man.
Your funeral.
And you are also the reason why we picked Dave Coulier this week, because you wanted to do him.
Well, don't, I mean, whoa. You gotta reword that whole thing there. First of all, don't shift blame. Second of all, those are some strong words.
I know what I said.
Look, everybody wants Uncle Jesse. I have very low standards, so I went Joey.
You like him soft and doughy, huh?
That Popeye impression, it gets me every single time. Makes me wet in the pants. Can I just say, I've been thinking about this since me and Chris talked when you guys first got the podcast going. He's like, I'm doing this podcast, Dave. I want you to be on it. Okay, cool. He's like, what's your Dave? First thing I thought of was Dave Coulier. No fucking idea why. I just popped in my head. And I said, put me down for Dave Coulier. I called dibs. Second thought out of my head was, who the fuck is picking this guy? I don't have to fucking beat someone with a bat in order to pick this guy.
We've both been asking ourselves that exact same question.
Oh, man.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
It's a rough Dave.
I thought you were like a huge fan, like you were coming out of the closet.
I am not. It was the first thing that came out of my head. And you know why I picked him? Alanis Morissette. And then I find out that's not even fucking about him anymore. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Is that what the deal is? That's not about him anymore?
Well, let's save that for the episode.
All you right. Asked me three times. Are you sure you don't want to switch?
But it's a Dave that we had to get to eventually. Like, everybody knows Dave Coulier. No one calls him David Coulier. He's like a true, legit Dave. So we had to get to him eventually. And a bunch of people were saying, when are you going to do him?
So, you serious?
Yeah.
You know, get the fuck out of here.
I mean,
I get it all the time, too. People are like, when are you doing Coulier?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
I think it speaks to the group of people that grew up with Full House.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't watch that fucking show no more. It just drives me absolutely bonkers.
Never seen an episode. Still have it.
Oh, God bless you.
I thought you were going to grind him today.
Instead, I ended up listening to Dave Coulier on Alison Rosen's podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to grind it, but I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, it doesn't hold. It doesn't hold up.
I've watched so much, man. He is.
You actually did.
What do you mean it doesn't hold up? It was never good.
You're right. But you know what? Back then, I don't think we knew what was good because you just ate it. I mean, okay, I ate it up because I didn't have fucking taste back then. you know, you had that Friday night block of, I don't know, like fucking Full House and Family. You just ate it. I don't know why.
Yeah, Family Matters, step by step, day by day. It was the last era of good theme songs, though. Now theme songs are just sound effects. You know, like even like Breaking Bad is just like a bendy guitar and like weird little bop, 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 bop. You know, like every theme song now is like a blah, and a bum 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 bum. It's all just percussion and sound effects now. Back then they still had the jingle going.
No, but that's 80s. You're talking Full House is 80s, right?
Full House is more 90s, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, till late 80s. Yeah.
I think we're in the early 90s, maybe real late 80s to early 90s.
I feel like the good TV theme song, to me, Frasier, I think, is the last great TV theme song.
Huh. Man.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you.
I could do hours on TV theme songs because there are so many ones that bother me. Like the Enterprise theme song has got to be my least favorite theme song in the world.
Oh, but that's a theme song with lyrics.
Yeah, it's terrible. They took a fucking Rod Stewart song and jammed it onto Star Trek, and I had to deal with it. I hate that. It's so bad. That Faith of the Heart, it's bad.
Wow.
I'm all right with it. That one doesn't bug me.
But, like, if you name, like, Facts of Life, everybody knows that theme song.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Different Strokes, no problem. Everybody can actually know the lyrics and sing along.
Did you just name two Alan Thicke ones? I think both of those are written by Alan Thicke.
Are you serious?
I think so too.
Wow.
I think so. Yeah, Alan Thicke is the shit. I love that he had an album and a TV show called In the Thick of the Night.
Oh, yeah. Hey, fun 90s theme songs. Friends.
Yeah.
Saved by the Bell is a good one.
Only reason I said Saved by the Bell because my son, his name is Zach. And yes, that's exactly the reason why.
For real?
Oh, man.
For real. When my wife and I first started dating, we would spend hours upon hours talking about old Saved by the Bell episodes. And we weren't high. We weren't drunk. We were teenagers that didn't know any better. And now we watch the goddamn thing and we're like, why? What were we smoking? It's ridiculous. And we named our child Zach.
That's cute, Zach though. Names.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that
I think I've lost all respect from OC right now because he didn't say anything.
No. I actually, my ex-wife was allowed to name one of her cousins, and she named him Zach because of Saved by the Bell. I just think it's funny because it's one of those name things where Saved by the Bell is kind of responsible for the spike in the name Zach. And then like Splash is responsible for the female name Madison. That didn't exist as a name. That's a joke in that movie that she just looks up and sees Madison Avenue and she's like, Madison, call me Madison. Now that's just a common white girl name.
Hmm.
The name spikes are funny because when I grew up, everybody was a Mike. I knew like a billion Mikes and a billion Jennifers and Kellys. Like everybody was a Jennifer or a Kelly. And then all the dudes were Mike and Ryan.
I told my wife when my son was born, I said, look, there's three names you're not allowed to name my son. Number one is Michael because I hate my name. Number two, Frank, because that's very common in my family. And number three, Joe, which is common in her family. I was like, let's do something that's there's no Zacharys. There's no wherever.
And I don't. You have me pick a team to help me fucking get a weekend project done just by names. Frank, Mike, and Joe are at the top of my list. Dudes named Mike and Frank built this fucking country. Like, there's no doubt about it. I could just, you know, I'd be like, you know, give me 20 Mikes. They'll get the job done. Like, I will put a team of Mikes against a team of Eugenes any day when it comes to building shit.
Well, who would win, a team of Mikes or a team of Joes?
Oh, see, that's tough.
I got to go with Joe.
Yeah, I think we're getting into different territory here because we have Joe the plumber. So the Joes are more about, you know, the infrastructure stuff. I feel like the Mikes would be like hammer and nails, getting shit up and getting it done.
Yeah, because like Mike Holmes.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the Mike?
Everyone except me.
You'd be like, all right, now you pussies put in the pipes. The mics are out, and drop their hammers.
Okay, so what's the mic to Joe ratio? Let's say you got to move. How many mics to make a Joe?
See,
I think you're going to need like 10 mics for like five Joes.
Joes go different ways though, right? Because Mike is always solid, whether it's a Mike or a Mikey. With Joes, sometimes you have that weird one who's like, I'm not a Joe, I'm a Joey. Like, you're an adult man. You can't be Joey anymore. That's weird, dude. Like once you're over 12, no more Joey allowed.
Yeah, no, we don't want any Joeys on this list. We're talking solid Joes.
Or the occasional weird one who's like, no, it's Joseph.
Oh, well, he's not part of this list either.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Like old school, I'm going Archie Bunker nickname rules. If your name can be shortened, that's what your fucking name is.
Well, we're going with Mike's, not Michael's.
Right, exactly. I work
on
a
podcast named Dave. We're arguing between Joe and Mike.
I worked for a Michael, and he wanted to be called Michael, and I was like, fuck that. You're a Mike. You don't get to do that to people. That's fucked up. Whatever your name is, if it can be shortened, I just refuse to. Like, it just got to the point where it was just like, everybody calls me Michael except this fucking asshole. He calls me Mike.
You know what I just figured it out? Mike is going to be with you. I'm going to go with the 10 Mikes instead of the 5 Joes because Mike is going to be with you all fucking day from the beginning to the end of the job. Joe is going to work hard for the first 3 hours and then disappear for a beer run.
Yeah, yeah, because he's an average Joe. He's never going to put in 110% like a Mike will.
Yeah, and then he'll come back with like some beers and then he'll want a lunch break.
There's a reason it's called a mic drop. It's not a fucking Joe drop. Average Joe is bitching about his back after 8 hours and like, I'm getting into overtime. Like, fuck you, Joe. Hit the bricks. Me and Mike are going to get this shit done and take a half day on Friday. Fuck Joe. Joseph puss.
All right, so we've determined that Mikes are better than Joes.
Yep, I think that just solidified it.
Yeah.
And Dave rules all.
Should we jump into some Dave news?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave Dave. That's his name, Dave Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
My Dave news story comes to us from thevalleyreport.com via Steve the Knight from the Mr. BS show. He sent this to me, and once I read it, I was like, oh, man, I have to use this story. Headline, Florida man dies in meth lab explosion after lighting farts on fire.
Oh, man.
Article written by Dave Weasel. A 37-year-old man is dead after his trailer home was destroyed in a meth lab explosion caused by him lighting up blue angels to amuse his wife. The man's wife, found lying naked on the couple's front yard, reportedly still laughing. A blue angel is when you put your lighter up to your butt and fart on it, making it catch on fire. It's funny as shit, explains the man's wife, who claims to be an expert on the subject. Normally we go to Del Taco because of their 59-cent taco, but we make some extra cash this week, so we went to Chipotle. The farts you get from there could fill a gas chamber. And I know he's looking up from hell, laughing his ass off, saying it was worth it.
Is this from The Onion?
This is from thevalleyreport.com.
Is that real? The reporter's name is Dave Weasel.
This is what Steve sent me. The woman plans on suing Chipotle, which failed to address their peppers causing a higher rate of methane in human farts. She offered a statement, I'm not mad about my husband dying. I just got my eyebrows did, and now they're gone. Chipotle Mexican Grill has yet to respond.
Oh, my God.
American school system at its best.
This has to be fake, but I did remember years ago reading about a man in Australia that was exploded in a porta potty.
Oh, because of the methane buildup?
Something like that. Yeah, but they were talking to the police, and the police were amazing about it. They were just like, "So give us a breakdown." And they're like, "Well, basically, we had this individual. I can't do an Australian accent, but basically, we have an individual." He entered the porta potty, and that's when something went horribly wrong. He used that phrase, and apparently this thing exploded and killed him. But that was his phrase. And that's when something went horribly wrong. You never want to have that phrase be used in your life ever, because that's always like, and then he died hilariously.
He burned off his didgeridoo.
For some reason, I was obsessed with porta potty news because there is way too much of it. Stuff goes down in portable toilets.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're for.
Yeah, there's always a diver's suit. Did you see that one where the guy was in the diving suit? It was like at a festival.
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's down there in a snorkel and stuff. And when he got out, there's video of him out getting chased by the police. And the police don't look like they really want to catch him.
Mythbusters did an episode on that. I can't remember if it was true or not, about a guy lighting up a cigarette in the porta potty and the thing blowing up.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's true or not.
Yeah, I feel like...
I know for a fact that some poor man lost his life hilariously in Australia.
I mean, we could look it up, but why go for accuracy?
Yeah, especially when you just read your shit. Bullshit lighting a fart stuff.
Hey, that shit is real. You can light farts on fire.
I have relatives that actually did it.
Not me. I actually have an education.
I love that they're called blue.
I don't. Fuck you, man.
Did you like a farts on fire? Well, you're better than half my relatives.
Sorry, man. So I was trying to come up with trying to recreate my Dave news on the fly, and then one of them, I couldn't find the right source. Turned out the dude was just a photographer.
Oh, all right.
But, he doesn't count.
Yeah. I was checking it out, and I was like, oh, shit. The only Dave credit on here is the guy who took the picture. So whatever. There's Dave shoes out. There's the Dave White Nike Air Max 95 NS. You know, I'm not a sneakerhead, but the Nike naming trends is getting out of control. Like, next thing you know, it's going to be the Nike XP Workstation. Dave White's love of Nike Air Max sneakers is well documented. He's made a shoe. It's part pop art. Sneakerhead homage to his personal grails. Dave White's artwork took off and even landed him collaboration efforts with the Swoosh years down the road. And yeah, he's got a new shoe out, and I think it's fucking horrendous looking, but it's a Dave shoe, so I might get a pair if they're reasonably priced, which they probably aren't because they're Nikes.
Or you could just wait till Black Friday and just trample someone for those shoes.
That was the most derision-filled news headline reading you've ever heard anywhere. I swear to God, if you go back and you just picture an actual newscaster reading that story, Nike's at it again with their bullshit, and they made an ugly hunk of shit. And it's probably going to be expensive, so fuck you, Nike. That's like, we should just do the news. We should just legit do an episode that is topical and on point, because it would be ridiculous. Can you believe what Trump said? Yeah, fuck that guy. Moving on. So, yeah, there's some... I can see the art in these shoes. There's... It kind of looks like the two that I'm seeing, it kind of looks like a guy had an orange pair of sneakers and then painted an abstract thing while wearing them and got some splashes on his shoes. And then the other set I'm seeing looks like a white set of sneakers, same thing. Like, he just wears white set of sneakers to paint a house one day and was like, oh, fuck, I fucked up my shoes. And then Nike is going to sell them for hundreds of bucks.
You know, I just came to the conclusion this past weekend that fashion in general is just bullshit. Because we were driving around and we drove by an Urban Outfitters, and like, it was totally 80s window display, neon and all that bullshit. And my wife said to me, oh yeah, mom jeans are back in. I'm like, what the fuck? Mom jeans are back in? Okay, fashion.
Seriously?
Fashion's ridiculous. It's a fucking bullshit. When are bell bottoms coming back? Like, they just keep changing it to make you feel like you're out of fashion, so you'll buy more shit.
Why do you think every dad is just wearing a hockey jersey and sweatpants, dude? Everybody comes to that conclusion. If you're a straight man, like, I don't want to put that might sound like I'm a homophobe, but gay people tend to stick with fashion a little bit longer. Yeah. Straight men hit that point a lot sooner, and it's the who gives a shit point. Like, nobody has a dad that dresses great. Everybody's dad, it was like, yeah, he always wore that same pair of sweatshorts and that one fucking Who Farted t-shirt. And then that weird straw hat that looked like shit on him. He right. wore that shit because it was comfortable, and the straw hat kept the sun out of his face. And like, at a certain point, you just give up, and it's like, I'll wear a shirt that has my fucking team on it. And that's it. Like, that's the natural progression as a dude. Dad's dressed like shit because dad stopped caring. Good dads look like shit. If you see a dad and he's wearing like the True Religion jeans and he looks all fashion forward, that guy's a piece of shit. Fuck that dad. You shouldn't have time to pay attention to the fashion trends as an adult man. That shouldn't be a thing. Like, at least a family man, it just shouldn't be in your radar. You should just be worried about other shit. Like, not like I'm not going to concern my favorite move is the guy who lives in his uniform. Like, we've all known that dude who like works for UPS, and when he gets off work, all he does is take off the shirt. So he's just shirtless and just wears his UPS brown shorts and cracks a beer, and that's how you know he's off work. That guy's my fucking favorite.
Thanks, OC, because I actually work for UPS.
Do you rock that move? Because that's the
no, I don't. I work in the warehouse, but just the fact you said UPS, I was like, we're kindred spirits.
Dude, I know that guy. Like, I know that guy who gets off of work, takes off the shirt and the hat, and he's home, you know, because those shorts are comfortable.
So should I take off my Ed Hardy t-shirt now?
Yeah.
Is that very passe now?
Let's go back about 12 years ago, and then you can take that shit off.
No, I got to keep it on because it'll go back in style, just like acid wash jeans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a few years back, my wife was saying you should get a pair of cargo shorts because that's what's popular now. And I bought cargo shorts, and I've been wearing cargo shorts. And now she's telling me I got to get rid of the cargo shorts because they're not in fashion anymore. And I just said, nope, they're comfortable. I like them. I'm buying more. I'm doubling down. They're going to be really cheap right now. I'm getting a shitload of cargo shorts.
Yes, that's the dad point. You've just hit the dad point where you're just like, suddenly one day you're at Costco and you're like, holy shit, they have a ton of the pants that I like. And you just load up and you're like, that's it, I'm in. This is my fashion for life now.
Yeah, it just makes sense. You can carry your phone, your keys, your crack, your...
Yeah. What kind of dad are you? I like a cool dad.
Yeah, I like...
Dad's got crack.
I like a functional pant. See, you will find that with most guys. Like, you find dudes and you can ask them why they wear a certain thing. You're either going to get the, like, I don't know, it was like clean, or you're going to get the exact like reason why it makes sense to wear that. Like, if you see me wearing a t-shirt, there's usually a pocket in it because I like to put my cigarettes in there. It's a utility thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I totally feel you with the cargo shorts because, yeah, you get that extra pocket. If I don't have a shirt pocket, I will fuck up my day. I will throw my cigarettes on the floor if I'm not wearing a shirt with a pocket in it.
All right, my next news story comes from Newsweek, and it says that Mulholland Drive has been voted the best movie of the 21st century in a poll of 177 film critics across 36 countries. The surreal noir, regarded as one of director David Lynch's finest, launched the career of Naomi Watts and was also named one of the greatest films of all time by British magazine Sight and Sound earlier this year. It is followed by Hong Kong director Wong Kar-wai's In the Mood for Love from 2000, Paul Thomas Anderson's There Will Be Blood from 2007, Studio Ghibli's Spirit Away from 2001, and Richard Linklater's Boyhood from 2014. So they're saying Mulholland Drive is the greatest movie of the 21st century so far.
Fuck that list for putting Boyhood on there.
I haven't seen it. Is it good? Have you guys seen it?
No.
I haven't, but it can't be the best of the...
Mulholland
Drive. I don't know. Yeah, Mulholland Drive is good, but...
No, fuck Boyhood. That's dumb.
I've heard
that's just like watching paint dry.
I know, when you get into 21st century, it's tough, though, because Point Break was 20th century, so we can't even go there. Like all of Swayze's career is off the table at this point, so...
They remade Point Break.
Yeah, that's not going on the list. We're going to pretend that never happened. Edit that out of the show.
If you want to go that way, I'm just saying.
If there's a Point Break is good because of Busey, Swayze, and Keanu. If it doesn't have those three elements, I don't want to watch it.
Any better ones?
They should have been in Full House. They should have been the Uncle Joey, Uncle Jesse, and whatever the fuck guy's name is.
That would have been such a good
Uncle
show.
Jesse.
Who played Patrick Swayze's Uncle Jesse?
Yeah, Swayze's Jesse. Keanu is Saget, and Busey is for sure Joey. Could you imagine him with the Buseyisms instead of the voices and stuff?
Oh God!
Bart, feeling erectile transmission.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the other day we convinced Gary Busey it was National Gary Busey Day on Twitter?
I was wondering what you were doing.
We just invented a fucking holiday, and eventually he tweeted about it, and I was just like, "Congratulations, guys! We just confused an old actor." Because you know at some point he had to call his publicist and he was like, did you do this? This is crazy. This is a darndest thing. Is this a real thing? Is it really National Busey Day?
Oh, God.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You know that's coming back at you someday. Someday someone's going to fuck with you and be like, it's Octopus Caveman Day.
I'll just be stoked. I'll shine it and be like, fuck yeah, it is. Tomorrow, too.
Let me just throw this out there real quick. What better movie would be on that list? Because for me, I'm like looking at Pixar movies. And to me, WALL-E is much better than some of those movies on that list. Like, I love Studio Ghibli, and I think they do a great job. But the Pixar movies are fantastic and should be on that best of, you know, 21st century so far, no?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, The Fast and the Furious. Throw that on. Throw a dude movie on there. Throw a regular guy movie on there.
No, but I'm talking about like actual good, legitimate filmmaking. Not movies. I'm talking films.
All right. See, I'm not down with that, though, because like Legally Blonde, isn't that a good movie?
It's a fun movie.
Wet Hot American Summer. That's 2001. I'd put that on the list. That's a great comedy. It's brilliantly done.
Yeah, but you wouldn't nominate that for Best Picture, where I could see WALL-E actually getting nominated for Best Picture, or Ratatouille.
But out of pretension, you wouldn't nominate that for Best Picture.
Not out of pretension. They're just great, solid films. The storytelling is good. The animation is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Pixar movies probably all did win Academy Awards.
Well, yeah, Best probably. Animated Features, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't like that we can't have just regular dude movies get critical reception. Like, it's okay to just have like a fun movie be a great movie. Die Hard is more fun than most movies, you know? Can't we just as a culture embrace it? Like, yeah, we like these movies. These movies can win Oscars too. Comedies are fun to watch. Let's have a few of them win.
Let's get Kevin Smith a friggin' star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and then we'll talk about that.
Let me find out when Congo was made. And then... Get in place. Damn, 95. That's best of the 20th century.
Oh, God.
I just don't like these. I don't like these lists where they have to be so pretentious about it. Comedies should often win best movie of the year. I think that well done comedy really, like, Blazing Saddles deserves an Academy Award.
Oh, fuck Blazing Saddles.
I think it deserves an Academy Award.
I was going to say, I was actually going to agree before you actually just stomped all over it.
Oh. All right, you want to take it?
No, 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 no. You know what? Honestly, I'll take History of the World Part 1 over Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, I've seen History of the World Part 1 less, so it's still funnier to me.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Yeah, so I'll give you that.
I'll take the producers over Blazing Saddles.
When Blazing Saddles goes into... The last 15 minutes, it loses me. I could just turn it off because it's just beyond ridiculous.
Young Frankenstein still super holds up.
Yes.
Because the laughs come out of nowhere. You're not expecting it because it's so spot on as a parody of those style of movies that when the laughs come, it's so unexpected. But new movies like that are just like cultural touchstones, and then you look back and you're thinking, that's gotta have won something, and then you find out, no, just like How Green Is My Valley or some bullshit you never heard of won because it tried to be pretentious and artsy. I don't like that.
Well, what about when what's her face from My Cousin Vinny, when she won the freaking Oscar, and one's like, her?
Yeah, that didn't feel super deserved, but she is really charming in that movie.
Right, and
that,
but it's a comedy, but everyone's like, are you serious? Right?
Yeah.
To this day, everybody can't believe it, and she's like, I'm holding the fucking thing, and I still can't believe it.
Yeah. That is a great movie, though. I'm glad that that's an Academy Award-winning movie. But Pesci is so good in that.
Oh, yeah.
Cruising in the, like, the purple suit with the tails.
Two Utes. Still holds up.
The two what? Fred Gwynn is the judge. Ah, I love that guy, too. What is a Ute?
Hey, nerds. You may know that PRL is part of the Potter and Family podcast community, but did you know that you can search the hashtag Potter and Family and get connected to hundreds of awesome podcasts? It's true. There's podcasts about everything. There's Epic Film Guys podcast. There's the Pure Orgasmic Love pod. There's Now That I'm Older. There's the Something Something cast and Blacker Than Black Times Infinity. Great podcasts. You should listen to all of them. I would have never known about them if it wasn't for Potter and Family. And if you don't want to search the podcast because you're lazy, follow Potter and Family on Twitter and they'll retweet the podcast to you. So now you're out of excuses. Go get connected and pick up a few podcasts.
All right, so that'll do it for the Dave News. Let's get into our featured Dave. Our featured Dave this week is Dave Coulier. Dave Coulier was born September 21st, 1959, and is an American stand-up comic, actor, voice actor, impressionist, and television host. He became known in the late 1990s and the early 90s for playing Joey Gladstone on the ABC family sitcom Full House, according to Wikipedia.
I have to say, I think Dave Coulier must have balls of steel if you look at the jobs that he's taken. He took over for Lorenzo Music and Bill Murray in the role of Peter Venkman in the Ghostbusters cartoon. He took over for Rick Moranis as Bob McKenzie.
Right, yeah.
He took over for Saget on America's Funniest Home Videos. Right?
No, he did America's Funniest People.
Right, okay,
yeah. Different. It was a spinoff of America's Funniest Home Videos.
So he's the residential substitute teacher of the show business.
Yeah, and I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares if people like him. I think he's just like, fuck it, that's a job, I'll do that job. Isn't he Canadian?
I believe he is Canadian. And should we just do that one right up front, his relationship with Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, it's all alleged to me.
It could be alleged, but everyone said the same thing. You're like, him? Him. You know?
Yeah.
Everyone just couldn't believe it, and yet it's so... It's unbelievable. It's believable. And now that I don't even know if it's not real or not.
Right. And what we're referring to is Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. She's so angry because Dave Coulier broke up with her. Allegedly. So they
did she go down with him in a movie theater? Or there was a lyric in that. Was it You Ought to Know?
Right.
Right.
He's not Canadian.
He's not.
No?
No. And his dad's a Dave, too. Holy shit, we didn't do our homework on this Dave at all. He's from Michigan.
He is from Michigan.
Yeah, his mom's side of the family is from Canada.
Fuck it, he's a hockey fan, so he might as well be Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, then by that logic, the entire great state of Michigan, bunch of great Canadian Americans.
So I was listening to the podcast, Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend, and he talked a little bit about his relationship with Alanis Morissette. And he said that he felt really bad. Like he will only speak highly of her. He respects her a lot. She's a talented artist. But it was a time in his life when he was just kind of dating and he was the dick in the relationship and he broke up with her. And that led her to being angry. And she asked, so are the lyrics about you? He said, I don't know what's in her head. I don't know who she wrote about because we never talked about that. We've become friends since then. But he does know the line, hate to bug you in the middle of dinner, because that actually happened, where she called and he said, look, I'm eating dinner. Can I call you later?
Oh, okay.
So at least that one specific line, he says, yeah, that actually is me.
So it's all true.
Hard to say. You'd have to get it from Alanis, but from his perspective, it could be true.
Alanis ain't talking about that shit on her podcast, which is boring as shit, by the way. I tried to listen to it. It's awful. Fuck you, Alanis.
Holy fuck. I tried to listen to the David Lee Roth podcast this week. I got maybe 5 minutes in. I'm like, nope, not spending any more time with this.
And that's another Dave I thought of. And I was like, oh, he's kind of interesting. And I bet you 10 bucks he's not.
I don't know, man. Watch the David Lee Roth with the barbecue. What's that? What's his no holds barbecue.
Right. I did. And it's
remarkable. It's more confusing than 2001. You want to start saying...
Wait. Compared to the Matrix trilogy, is it more confusing than that?
Fuck yes. 100% yes. We got to do like a Dark Side of the Moon sync up thing for David Lee Roth's No Holds Barbecue. Like you sync that up with
Benny Hill music. Yakety sax.
That would make a lot more sense.
All right. So Dave Coulier, we pretty much know him from Full House. I've never seen an episode. Have you guys watched the show?
I've seen just about every episode. And
when I was a kid, I'm guilty as charged.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it as well because I was young and I was stupid.
Yeah.
I was a teenager when that show came out. So, that missed me. It's a kid show.
And you had a life on Friday nights. Yeah. Apparently me and OC did not.
Yeah, I watched the entire TGIF lineup, all of them, all those weirdos. I grew up with them, and I got to watch them rise and fall shortly afterwards when the entire cast of Step by Step got busted for drugs.
Didn't one of them beat the girlfriend or some shit?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, the dude who lived in the van. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what was great, though, about
tight
all of
casting right there?
Perfect Strangers holds up pretty well. Perfect Strangers, I tip my hat to Bronson Pinchot.
Why
because,
isn't that on syndication?
Yeah, Balky Bartok, that's a good show. It holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
And the best theme song of all time.
We should protest. We want Balky back.
Yeah, that was... Cousin Larry. That was the like, tentpole of TGIF for a long time. That was the, like, longest-running one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the sadder part is watching all of Fuller House in my 30s as an adult man, but...
Fuse. I pick Dave Coulier, I'm sorry, I'm not stepping that low.
I mean, I give him credit for at least keeping the spirit of the original show. I mean, they say that it's one of the Netflix's biggest shows, and they're currently filming season 2 right now. I mean, Dave Coulier just directed an episode.
I mean, I'm glad because it gives What's-Her-Name a chance to make some more money after blowing it all on meth, you know?
Jodie Sweetin.
Yeah.
Well, so, that's allegedly.
I mean, DJ's still fucked up because thanks to Kurt.
Yeah. Kurt Cobain, she was a huge fan. Oh, my Lanta. Have mercy.
God damn.
Let's just drop in Full House jokes from here on out.
You got it, dude.
Oh, God. Cut it out. Quit it. Someone had to do it.
All right. So Full House has been on the air since 1987.
You know what's really strange about Full House is you watch it and you're like, holy shit, Stamos is the best actor here, isn't he?
Oh, yes, agreed. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of stopping hyperventilating.
He's also one of the only characters that kind of has an arc, because he starts off as like a shithead musician, like kind of loser dude, And then he becomes like sort of Michelle's favorite, and he's always with the baby and has these emotional one-on-ones where he's just talking to the baby, and then turns into this, you know, like he finds a good balance and then eventually becomes a dad. It's kind of his show because he's the only guy who grows throughout it.
I guess so, but he kind of – doesn't he live in the basement or something like that? So isn't he still there, you know?
No, no.
I'm still chasing my dreams of being that rock star. I never made it, and now I'm like kind of, you know, doing heroin.
Wait, he lives in the basement on that show?
No, Joey lives in the basement.
They live in the attic.
Yeah, that's right.
So moving on up, I guess. I don't
know. With their entire family, like they're the fucking Franks or something.
He's like Fonzie.
Yeah, well, Fonzie had a separate entrance above the garage, you know. He had to go in and walk through the kitchen and go upstairs.
But today, Fonzie would not be cool. That's not considered cool. He's an older man, okay, hanging out with teenagers in, you know, Al's diner, whatever you fucking want to call it, right. Okay? So that's pathetic, number one. He's living above a garage, okay?
He calls the women's restroom his office.
His office?
That's creepy.
You know, his magic thing is that he hits the jukebox and it goes on. I don't know. It sounds like loser. I love Henry Winkler, but sorry, Fonzie, today, day and age, 2016, loser.
Yeah. You're ruining it for me because I love Happy Days. That's like top 10 favorite shows for me. But you're totally fucking right.
And he becomes a teacher. And he was actually supposed to have a spinoff. Fonzie was supposed to have a spinoff, and Henry Winkler said, "Hell no!"
Well, that little girl died too.
Did she?
He was supposed to have that spinoff where it was him having a family with that girl, and he had a girlfriend that had a daughter, and they bonded on towards the end of Happy Days, like the shitty days when like Ted McGinley came in. You know,
no, you're talking about the little girl from Poltergeist.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those internet rumors, or before internet was around, one of those rumors that she died, like the kid that ate Pop Rocks and drank a Coke and died.
No, she legit died from a fecal impaction. Yeah. Sorry to bring it down. It's terribly sad. I just learned about it yesterday because I was like, I wonder what happened to that adorable little kid. Oh, fuck.
Fecal impaction?
So yeah, it was like a bowel blockage, and it killed her. Are you Googling it? It's sad. It's a bummer. You guys can take my word for it, because I was incredulous about it first, and then I was just like, oh, that's really super sad, especially when you're just like, I bet she's like selling real estate and doing great right now. No.
Died at the age of 12 from cardiac arrest and septic shock by a misdiagnosed intestinal stenosis.
Yeah.
OC's, you know, I'll give it to you.
I told you. It's sad. I told you not to Google it. You don't want to look at her face along with that story. That's
I told you not to look down. You did.
The thing I hated about Fonzie was he was the cool guy, but he was that cool guy who was like, hey, don't ever take a drug. Drugs will mess up your life. Like, he always had that positive message that just pissed me off because it's not cool guy. Cool guy would have been like, hey, don't ever take a hard drug. You smoke weed, that's fine. Drink some beers, that's, you know, keep it reasonable. Just stay away from the needles and you'll be all right. Like, that's the real cool guy. Not like, hey, before I make this jump, I'm going to put on my helmet. Like, he was clearly having unprotected sex with all those women, but if they ever broached the topic of sex, he'd be like, hey, before I get down to play, I got to put on my rubber. Why am I doing Tony Danza right now?
That's a pretty solid Danza, dude.
Angela. Yeah. Hey, let's get down, but first I gotta put on my rubber. Mona, oh boy. I just found a perfect Danza.
Samantha, turn away.
Samantha, you don't want to watch me do this, Samantha.
I don't know if we've even talked about David Coulier yet.
Yeah, a little bit. Enough, you know.
Gave him homage.
Well, let's do a little more because his voice acting is amazing. Like when he's actually performing on The Muppet Babies or Ghostbusters or one of the many Scooby-Doo, one of the many shows that he's provided an animation voice for, he's fantastic.
My son is 3, right? And he discovered Ghostbusters, you know, through the fucking movies, whatnot. And I introduced him to the cartoon. That show still holds up.
Yes.
Still holds up to this day. And Dave Coulier does a pretty damn good, you know, Peter Venkman.
That show, the writing is so good.
Like, oh, yeah.
It could be a sitcom that good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not it's a TV show that happens to be animated. Because there's no way you could pull off the special effects budget. But if they took those scripts and made like a live action TV show, it would work.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows where they cater to children. It's the shows that are shows now where they cater to the children. You're like, oh, it's a cartoon, but the adults can watch it. And you're like, oh, what they just said was actually quite smart, you know, or smart sounding.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But they get into some dark shit. Like, they actually get into, like, cults and satanic stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, on the podcast that I listened to where he did the interview, he walked away from show business because he had a son, got a divorce, and at that time, his three TV shows that he had on the air, Muppet Babies, Ghostbusters, and Full House, all ended the same year. And so he had nothing to do, no work commitments, and so he quit show business to raise his kid.
Is that quitting show business or is it just running out of work?
No, because he was saying that their offers were coming in to do other stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, if I've listened to a lot of other podcasts and especially with the voiceover artists, if one person can't do it, let's say Maurice LaManche. If I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah, from Futurama and all that.
Yeah. If he can't do one a voice or he's not getting the character, he's like, he'll refer to someone else to do. He's like, oh, you know who will do this and I'll do it well. You know, it's a very sharing community.
Yeah.
You know, rather than a very backstabbing community. So I can actually understand that.
It's the same with the adult film business. They're like, you want a guy who can suck his own hog. Get Ron Jeremy.
Thank you for now making me spit water out all over my fucking screen.
You know what I do have? This is kind of fucking cool. So he also does, because he's known to be an impressionist, and he did some ADR work for Richard Pryor.
Really?
Coulier.
Because I guess the way that Pryor worked is he would go and he would film, and if there was any ADR work that needed to be done, Richard Pryor would say, fuck it, I'm not coming in, I'm not doing that. And so for the movie Critical Condition, he did some looping for Richard Pryor. I got a little clip.
Please, it's just a Bullwinkle voice.
Here we go. Here's a little bit of Coulier doing Richard Pryor.
I actually did Richard Pryor's voice in a film called Critical Condition.
Oh.
Because Richard, when he does a film, will not go back and do the dubbing or looping, it's called. So we have to take the words out that you can't use on television and put nice, clean words in.
And it was real weird because, like, no one knew that I was, like, a guy with, like, blonde hair and this face.
Very good.
Because when you see the final movie, you hear Richard Pryor saying things like, oh, shucks, mother father.
Oh, fuck you.
What?
Wow.
That's a solid Pryor.
Holy crap.
All right, I just turned around on Coulier. Normally, like, I start off liking a Dave, and then by the end, I fucking hate him. That just redeemed him. I started off hating Coulier, and now I'm like, yeah, he's all
right. That's pretty solid, right?
I'm, wow.
I honestly don't hate the guy. I think he fit a perfect time. And I was thinking, like, I've heard interviews with him and stuff before. He's a delightfully funny guy and a pretty honest guy, and I do totally appreciate that.
Yeah. I think he's too clean, where you automatically have to just throw shit at him just to make him a little dirty. Where Bob Saget went, you know, I'm Danny Tanner and I'm, you know, this character. And everyone's like, well, that's Danny Tanner. You know, he kind of lived that character and then he became he was a comic, but he was another, you know, after Full House, he became this ultra dirty comic. And you're like, he went to one extreme to another. And where Coulier was, you know, you just had to dump on him because it's kind of fucking easy.
Well, he...
Except for now, after that fucking Richard Pryor. Holy shit.
He did things that were very of the time. So I think we should look at him like a Henry Winkler type of figure. Henry Winkler did all the Fonzie stuff and then moved on and did other stuff after that. Like, Coulier is... I'm sure if you saw him at a comedy club, he wouldn't be doing the, I pray to God he wouldn't be doing the fucking Bullwinkle voice.
Well, the reason why he works clean is because after performing a set, Jay Leno came up to him and told him, you know what, if you work clean, you'll be able to work anywhere forever. And that's why he's always stayed a clean comic.
Everybody says that. Yeah, all the clean guys like Gaffigan and Regan, they just say it's a financial choice mostly.
Yeah, yeah. You can. Your opportunities are so much greater when you work clean.
I've never listened to Brian Regan and been like, man, I wish he'd just say fuck. But yeah, I think, you know, there's an element of this like sellout nature, I think, in our generation of dudes, like punk rock and roll dudes, where it's like, that guy's a sellout. Where those guys get hate for big being on, you know, like a cheesy family show. It's like, fuck that guy. He's on this. But I would take any of those jobs. I would do it. Somebody wanted me to be on, like, the stupidest show ever. I would do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat, and I'd do it to feed my fucking family.
Anybody would. But even, like, MC Hammer. Let's take him, for instance, right? He, you know, makes this great music. Everyone's dancing to it. It's Hammer time. Okay. And he becomes this big whole spokesperson, and everyone shits on him. And then he goes bankrupt, blah, blah, blah. You know, happy ever after. Friggin' every rap artist does it now. Kanye does that same goddamn thing. Jay-Z does that same goddamn thing. And everyone's like, well, it's okay.
Well, it's a different time, because back then, when you're at the top, and if you do commercials, it was at the time it was seen as a big step down. So for Hammer to do 10-10, 220 commercials, that was just an embarrassment. You know, that's why a lot of the top celebrities will do stuff overseas, but not here. But now we live in an era where you market and milk your celebrity for what it's worth. That's why we see Jennifer Garner with the credit cards and George Clooney with the espresso machines. And, you know, you just, it doesn't matter anymore, because for some reason you get to keep your celebrity status even though you're shilling a product.
Every time Jennifer Garner smiles, she looks like she's having a stroke. I don't know what it is. She has this one part of her lip that just, I don't know. Just look at her smile. She looked like she just got off a stroke.
It's that Mary Tyler Moore smile. Same thing, where you're like, is your face okay? Doesn't look like it's natural in a smile, you know?
And if any of the kids out there can actually tell me what 10-10, 220 means, $100.
Dude, nobody.
Does that count for me?
No.
I could use the money. Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Octopus Caveman will give you $100.
There is something, I think, kind of noble about Hammer, because he just hired everybody. He wasn't just trying to lift himself up. He hired everybody. He had 40 backup dancers that were just his friends that he was like, all right, I'll put you on the payroll. Come on, let's go. We're all in this together. You know, I kind of love that guy for that.
Right. And everyone's just like, oh, fuck you, Hammer. You know, now it's all gangster rap and shit like that. And I guess you're right, but... You know, when artists are doing the same freaking thing, Kanye has a shoe. What the fuck, Kanye? What's he doing with a shoe? And it's gray.
Yeah, it's not. I think the credibility is different, right? So it was the gangster shit. Those gangster dudes didn't sign any deals with anybody. But now it's all about like being a rap star or being a mogul. So now everybody wants a clothing line and a shoe, and they all want to be, you know, Puff Daddy and shit. Like, he was the beginning of that, like shameless self-promotion.
Well, it kind of started back with fragrance lines. Everyone had to have their own, like Britney and whatnot. And then Jessica Simpson started her own fashion line. Same thing with the Olsen twins. They started a fashion line. Any way you could capitalize on celebrity, it's not enough to just be an actor. Once you have celebrity, you can sell shit. And rather than being a pitch person for a product, you create your own line and people will buy it. And that's why Olsen twins could buy and sell me 10 times over.
This is the last name of Kool-Aid. Doesn't that sound like an aftershave or something like that?
It does. It sounds so good.
There you go. And so he should start an aftershave line.
Just put on some Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it would be a great yeah. aftershave, or like a great liqueur. Like, if he was a rapper, he'd for sure have like Kool-Aid would be some type of like liquor.
LL Kool-Aid?
Dude. Ooh. So you know how LL stands for Ladies Love? It's Ladies Love Cool J?
Yeah.
Every time I hear or see the name DL Hughley, I just think dudes love Hughley.
All right, we're not getting better than that. That'll end. With that, let's wrap up our featured Dave.
DLD, dudes love Dave.
Oh, man. Do you got a Twitter, Dave?
I don't.
All right. In that case, no Twitter, Dave. So, buddy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege.
Is there anything that you want to promote or plug?
As of right now, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. The website's going to come a little later at thatcgguy79. Hit me up. Look at my stuff. Enjoy.
Yeah,
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah,
I'm on Twitter all the time. Trust me.
Yeah.
See me.
Yeah, and some just amazing. I don't know. They're not. Are they illustrations? Is that the right way to call CG?
They're 3D models.
Okay.
So just think of it as digital clay.
So if you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can find me at Green Korean 1, and you can find Octopus Caveman at Octopus Caveman, and our website is DavePodcast.com. Guys, hey, good hanging out with both of you.
Thank
always
you.
A pleasure.
It's always a pleasure.
For the Dave Podcast, I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Dave Jam.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Daves of our lives.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.